Welcome to the Heavens Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two Americans who don't know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sean.
Heavens Devils podcast. Hold up. Freeze. Hey. These boys bring us that promotion, please.
Hey, to me, Bob. Let's go. Shout out to Hope. Shout out to Jay-Z. Swiss Beats from New York City, baby. Shimmy.
I got to close the window before I record because New York don't know how to be quiet.
Shimmy Bob had to reference the Bob, man, because just feeling that energy.
Oh, what a beautiful day, Shimmy. What a beautiful day. What's Saturday? What a beautiful day it is today, Shimmy. We just destroyed the evil empire in their home. We embarrassed them. We have two huge matches coming up, too. We have two, maybe three guests on today. We'll see. Today's NFL Championship Sunday here in the USA. What a Sunday, Shimmy. What a pod. Let's have a pod. Let's get into it, Shimmy.
Let's do it.
Woo! Woo! Shimmy Bob, first of all, thank you all for listening. Thank you for hanging out with a couple idiots like us. This podcast is free, but your time isn't. You can't buy back the time that you wasted listening to us. So we thank you for listening to us, man. So on today's show, well, we got to make this one kind of quick because Shimmy, are we doing it still to go into the bar for the NFL championship Sunday?
We're going to do it. We still, you know, we're still Americans through and through. So we got to check out the football.
For the football.
Football.
Only two things matter on this pod, God and football. Anyway, all right, let's get back to business. So we got to be snappy because we got to get to the bar. We got to go watch some football with some friends at the bar. American football, go Bengals. Anyway, here we go. So on today's pod, Shimmy Bop, Shimmy Bop, Shimmy Bop. On today's pod, we talk the Tranmere domination, the domination of those trolls from Tranmere. We talk a lot of Forest Green, legacy. Like, what is the legacy of this team? How great is this team? We talk about the players. We talk about the match. We talk everything with our friend, Ashley Lovers. The amazing Ashley Lovers.
The broadcasting legend.
A legend of Gloucester journalism. Love chatting with Ash. Every time we talk, time flies talking to that guy. I cannot wait to get to Gloucestershire and drink some beers in the Stroud Brewery with that man. So awesome chat with Ash. We also go to Kip and Tony and Scully the Scouser, who joins us, who were in hostile territory on Saturday at Prenton Park. So we will hear their recap of the match and the controversial bottle throwing and meat music massacre of the Tranmere Rovers. And then we have Exiles Analysis Man himself. Our friend Martin with a Y, Phillips with an I, is on the pod from all the way over there in Wales. So kind, so generous to join us to give us a little recap about Newport County. Massive match on Saturday.
Some of that analysis, we're also talk man. A little bit. He gave us some good intel.
Yeah. That's why they call him Exiles Analysis Man, baby. So we'll also talk Port Vale. And we got Statman on. We'll also talk FGR Women. We'll also talk news. We'll talk the new park. We'll talk the new signing, Casey. We got a little bit of everything, Shimmy. So let's get into it, baby.
You ready? Let's
talk that talk. Let's walk that walk, Shimmy. So we are going to talk all about how the Forest Green Rovers, a force for good in the world, went into the Lions Den, into the Death Star in front of 11,000 hostile, loud, annoying, bottle-throwing fans and shut them up. They silenced 11,000 people. Shimmy, we will get into all that in a few minutes with our guy, Ash Loveridge. What a Saturday, though, Shimmy. What a team, Shimmy. Was this the best, you know, Forest Green League performance ever? We ask Ash. But, Shimmy, just quick thoughts. Are we feeling great? Or are we feeling great after that?
I'd have to say we're feeling great, man. Just what an all-around performance from the beginning.
We only gave you two
end.
Options.
Yeah, from the beginning until the end. Man, it just felt like all the players were ready. And we talk about it with Ash, but every player on the pitch performed as an 8 out of 10 or above. And I feel like this, you know, Tranmere Rovers, they're kind of like off-brand Mark Zuckerberg's inviting us to the metaverse of Tranmere, right, of Prenton Park. Us FGR, the meat-averse, you know.
We don't
mess with that stuff. And we showed them who, you know, somebody got rolled. Somebody got cooked yesterday. And it was a vegan cookout.
Dude,
we roasted them.
We roasted them. It was a vegan cooking. Let's go. A thrashing. And, you know, we should have been a little classier on Twitter, a little more grown up. We were very childish on Twitter. But you know what? When we play a club like Tranmere, you can't help but play in the mud, Shimmy. You got to play in the mud. It's fun. We only get to be immature We only get to trash talk twice a year, only when we play Tranmere. So we got to take full advantage of it.
True.
We will be on better behavior next week and all future weeks now that Tranmere's out of the way. Yeah. But it's just, it's fun to be a little classless, fun to be a little immature.
It's especially such a big match, right? One against two at the top of the League Two table. You know, and hey, they played Meatloaf for us over all throughout the park when we arrived. But apparently they would do anything for love except score goals. So apparently, you know, didn't feel that way for their
love
fans.
It. Yeah. I love it, Jimmy Bop. Also, I don't know if I mentioned this, but we may have Statman Chris Latham on. We also may not. We don't know yet. Depends on what time he's free and what time we got to go to the bar for the NFL playoffs. But anyway, so if I didn't mention Statman already, Statman Chris Latham may or may not be on the pod. Hopefully he is. We love Statman. We need to get caught up with our boy Statman.
He will be back.
But first up, let's get into some news. So first, some transfer news. With only a couple days left in the transfer window, we signed on loan 20-year-old Casey McAteer. I don't know how to pronounce it exactly.
Yeah, neither do
but,
I.
But from, whatever, Casey, from the Premier League side, Leicester City. A very young, exciting midfielder/wingback prospect that should be excellent cover in case Kane or Cads or someone in the midfield gets injured, because it seems like he's pretty dynamic. It seems like he can play on the wings or in the midfield. So if they need a rest, if someone gets injured, hopefully not, knock on wood, looks like he can fill in. So huge signing. Leicester City fans just love this guy. They sing his praises. It's going to be very exciting to watch, Jimmy. On his style of play, Casey himself said, "I see myself as an agile player. Probably one of the best, my best attributes is my speed." You love that. Speed kills, Shimmy. I like getting forward. I like building attacks. I just love playing football, really. We love watching football. This is going to be a perfect little marriage. This is a player that our guy Rich Hughes, director of football, has been scouting for a while. Rob even went to go see him play. So Rich said, you know, our position coming into this window was that we're really happy with the group we have. Mm-hmm. That has continued. Nothing has changed, but we saw this opportunity to bring Casey in, and this was too good to turn down. Such an exciting, exciting time. Like I said, if Cads or Kane go down, we're in huge trouble, because they are such – I mean, they're two of the best players in the league, let alone the team. They're a huge reason why we dominate the league in goals. So if one of them went go down, hopefully it doesn't happen, but it seems like Casey could step up and help out and try to fill their enormous boots. What do you think of the signing, Shimmy?
Yeah, you know, in Richard Hughes we trust. Man, he's helped assemble the squad that has performed so stellar this season. This player, he has made an appearance in the Premier League, you know, even though he hasn't started. So we know that he's at that level, you know, like Brendan Rodgers felt it was okay to let him get some playing time, right, at the highest level of English soccer.
Yeah.
And so I just love for him. I'm sure Leicester wants him to get playing time and develop, and we'd love for him, his development, to come to our benefit, right? So like you said, we need a little bit of coverage. We're firing on all cylinders, but, you know, like any sport, football, you get a chance where injuries happen, right? Players miss matches for whatever reason. So to have that extra coverage and have a young person who seems really hungry. And seeing him celebrate yesterday after that Tranmere victory was awesome to see, too. He's already getting the spirit of the team and getting in there.
Yep.
So, man, I'm just excited.
Yeah, what a welcome for that guy to see a 4-0 thrashing at Tranmere in hostile ground. What a welcome to him. So excited to have him here. And then kind of other big news. You know, we're recording this on Sunday, January 30th. Transfer window closes Monday, January 31st. So tomorrow for us at this point in time when we're recording. Knock on wood, it looks like we're not going to lose anyone, not even Ibu. And of course, we're going to look really stupid tomorrow if we do lose like five people on deadline day. But anyway, if you're listening after Monday, you will know. But it seems good. You know, there's only one day left. We haven't lost anybody. That's a good sign. So hopefully we can, you know, keep that if we keep this team together. Holy moly. This team's crazy good. And speaking of Ibu, the Gambia bowed out of AFCON this weekend in the quarterfinals, a 2-0 loss to Cameroon. But what a story. Yeah. What an effort. The underdog Scorpions, led by our very own Ibu Adams, punched above their weight, just like Forest Green Rovers are doing, and made the Gambia and FGR Nation proud. So big shout out to Ibu. Big shout out to the Gambia. What a fight.
It's no disgrace to go out to the hosts either, right? To the host country.
That's right.
It's always tough to face a host of a tournament. But they made us proud, man. Great job, the Gambia.
100%. And we're excited to get Ibu back. And we're excited to get Bax Blue back. Let's get them both back to the UK.
Yeah, I think I think the supporters coach needs Bax Blue back in, right?
That's right. That's right. So last bit of news here. Eco Park underway. Plans moving forward. We talk about this with Ash, so we don't really need to go into it here. But 5,000 all wooden stadium, 5,000 seater, 38,000 square miles of office space, 8,000 square meters, meters of industrial space designed to host companies working in a zero carbon economy. A training ground for men, training ground for women, training ground for youth teams. It's got a hotel, housing. They're even digging up archaeological Roman artifacts. It's wild, Shimmy. It's wild. The development will contribute around 150 million pounds to the local economy annually, while generating 2 million pounds per year in the business for the Stroud District, Business Council, whatever. Anyway, it's so exciting. Yeah. I cannot wait for this. This kind of complex is how we sustain a League One or even championship level team. It is a championship level complex. So excited for it. Again, we talk a lot more about it with Ash. But are you excited for this, Shimmy?
Yeah, man. Again, and it just comes down to the vision of Dale Vince and the club and the ambitions, right? Like, why wouldn't the club go for something so innovative and groundbreaking and encompass all these parts of life? And as you'll hear from Ash when we talk to him, apparently there's also plans for an old folks home. So we're securing our places there already.
That's right. You, me, and Jamma.
Yeah.
we'll all get a place there. So excited for that. I know there's mixed feelings from the FGR world, and totally get it. Like,
right.
Leaving the home, leaving Nailsworth. Also, I kind of agree with the idea, like, maybe we should, I don't know if it should be an all-seater. Like, it would be nice if there was a part that were terraces right behind one of the goals for the, you know, where the new south stand can go, and try to create a little bit more atmosphere. So I agree with those points, but I think overall it's like what has to be done in order for this club to progress. So before we get to Ash, before we get to Kip and Tony, before we get to our man Exiles Analysis, before we get to Stat Man, let's go. And before we get to Fashion Police, I forgot we got Fashion Police on this pod too.
And last but not least, the FGR women as well, right?
But yeah, I want to talk about the FGR, the Forest Green Rovers women's team, who play today, Sunday, at Middlezoy. What a name. What are these names, Shimmy?
I don't know. I'm not sure which dimension they're playing in, but they are playing. There is a match today. So.
What are these? I love it, Middlezoy. Anyway, the Forest Green Rovers went on the road to take on Middlezoy. Our very own stat man, Chris Latham, was there. We will talk to him a little bit later, get some big stats from him. But anyway, let's quickly recap the game. Rovers got out early. Well, not early, actually close to the end of the first half, 38th minute. Georgia Vandries, a lobbed finish, give the Rovers a 1-0 lead. But then, Middlezoy broke our hearts and broke the seventh dimension as they score in the 42nd minute and equalize 1-1. And that will be the final game, or final score. Somehow, Charlie did not score. Somehow, Hattie did not score. I don't know what happened, Shimmy, but it looks like Hattie didn't play.
Okay. So that's what happened. If she plays, she scores, right? So.
That's right. Whenever Hattie Jones plays, she scores, but I don't see her in the lineup.
But Georgia Vandries got our first goal today.
So shout out to number 16 in your programs. Number one in your hearts, Georgia Vandries, with a big goal. I'm sure Charlie played a big role in that as well. And I don't know what happened to Hattie. We'll have to ask Statman when he's on later. But 1-1 draw to Middlezoy. Continuing, like, good point on the road. I think it's Middlezoy's kind of a drive based on what we're hearing from Statman. So it's a good point on the road. They continue to kind of cement their place in the middle of the table, which is where you want to be when you advance not one level, but two levels, maybe even three levels. I forget how many levels this is up from where they were last year. So awesome stuff from the women's team. Shimmy Bop, what do you think?
Yeah, man. I love to see all facets of this club succeed and keep going forward. So happy to see that we're in there fighting, you know, kind of like mid-table at the moment, but just the progression at a higher level is awesome to see.
Yes sir. All right, so let's get on to, we'll go to Kip and Tony. Kip Kowalski, who's got a new nickname, by the way. Kip Kowalski, aka Jan Klukowski, shout out to the FGR legend, as informed us by our guest today, Ash Leverage, and the Bayou Bebe Tony Gras, are on with a special guest, Scully the Scouser. So we'll hear from Kip, Tony, then we'll go straight into Ash Leverage. Then after Ash, we will go to our preview of Newport County on Saturday with Exiles Analysis, man. Then we'll talk a little bit of Port Vale, which comes up on Tuesday. And then we'll close out with Chris Statman. Hopefully he's here. We don't know for sure yet, but hopefully he'll be here in time. And then we'll get out of here. All right, Shimmy, let's go to Kip, Tony, and Scully the Scouser. Boom.
Kip, Jan Klikowski Kowalski, and I'm joined by the Bayou baby, Tony Graw.
Bonjour.
And I'm joined by Scully the Scouser.
Hello, I'm in jeopardy.
Reporting live from the dumpster that is Prenton Park, home of the Trashmere Trolls of Tranmere, in a true battle of good versus evil. We go to the pregame, where the sounds of meat-themed songs echo around the park, a cocky and juvenile decision that definitely won't come back to haunt them. 6 minutes now, we go to Big Daddy Kane Brian Wilson, who says, I get around, round, 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 I get around defenders, as he finds fellow beach boy, Maddie, I ain't never been with a baddie, Stevens, who says, she comes to her out of the goal tally, goal, 1-0 to the Rovers.
We go to the 20th minute, and it's a handball, a ballon en main, in the box as Tranmere player mistakes the ball for one of Maman's boudin balls at the boucherie and smacks that ball down. Gotta be a handball, gotta be 2-0 from Jammer, who's money from the penalty spot. But what? No penalty, mon dieu.
A travesty.
Initially shaking my conceding the captain's goal for a 17th league goal of campaign. God, I'm turning American now. I'm supposed to be a Scouser. What's going on? And Dublin Forest Green to manage 3 minutes before the break.
beautiful from Scully the Scouser there.
Well, we go to the 53rd minute when Jordan Moore Taylor Swift says the player's gonna play, and Tranmere haters gonna hate. Throw bottles and post meat memes, but I'm just gonna shake it off. Goal! 3-0 to the goal! The traveling fans break into song!
Oi! Oi! Oi!
Oi! Oi! Oi! Oi!
I'm here right out of the defense on your FGR Live TV stream. Out for all that I can get to another clean sheet. Bailey Coghill to the left of me. Udoka to the right. Don't eat no beef. Ain't got no knife. Living that day of his vegan life.
I'm GMT.
I'm dynamite.
GMT.
GMT. And on the fight. JMT! I'm a full power load! JMT! Watch me explode! Alright, Tony!
We go to the 66th minute, the minute of La Diablo, when them drunken, angry Couillon of Tranmere try to go flashback to when they got kicked out of Mardi Gras in Nolan several years ago, throwing bottles instead of beads at the crew parade. This time, them posed Tran weirdos aimed at Luke Monchamp McGee, chasing him out of the goal. But they couldn't score a goal themselves. They never gonna learn. Poo yee yee.
And in the 78th minute, and Regan Vegan Henry seals the deal with a half volley with his left and right leg. I've never seen anything quite like it. It was incredible. It was a half volley into the corner. 4-0 to the Raiders.
That was phenomenal from Scully the Scouser.
The
Rovers go marching. The Rovers win 4-0 against the trash troll Tranmere Rovers.
Laissez le bon temps rouler. Let's go.
Kip, Tony, and our guest, special guest, Scully the Scouser. What do we think, Shimmy? They're back. It's after a few weeks off.
I thought the world was low on helium, but Scully's been dipping into the tank, it seems like. Either that or he's in witness protection somewhere in Lancashire. But that was great. Great recap. Haven't heard from Tony and Kip in a while, too, so.
Yes, always good to catch up with them. By the way, live stuff. Chris Latham is ready to go, so we're going to send him a link. I'm going to send him a link this minute. And live pod. Texting. All right, there we go. All right, we're gonna chat with Chris after all, so good. All right, but before we chat with Chris, let's go chat with our man Ashley Loveridge. Ash is the man, our friend from abroad, and my birthday brother, February 10th. We're both born on February 10th. What a guy. So let's go chat with Ash. He's awesome as always.
So great.
Love Ash, man. Love that guy. Cannot wait to drink some beers with him at Stroud Brewery in April. Ah, let's go. All right, let's go to Ash. Let's go. Here we go. Okay. You hear this man every Tuesday and Sunday if you watch the games on FGR Live or listen on BBC Radio Gloucestershire. You read his work in the Stroud Times, on BBC Sport, on Sky Sports, almost anywhere where you read match recaps. You can watch him in the next Wes Anderson film, because he looks like a Wes Anderson character right now with his awesome, awesome gear on. Anyway, he is a legend of Gloucestershire sports journalism, the best hair in Gloucestershire, the lad from Slad. We take you to your commentary team, Nathan and Shum, and first of all, Ashley Loveridge. Ash, welcome back to the pod, my friend. Oh, I didn't know Scully the Scout was doing it.
Scully's taking your spot.
Yeah, sorry about that. Scully's still in character. I think I've got some disorder now, so just let me get one more out of my system.
Perfect. Now you're fully back in Gloucestershire. You got all of the scouts out of you.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, what a wonderful day it was. We're all still absolutely buzzing from it, aren't we? So wake up on Sunday morning and almost pinch yourself with that performance, really. It was absolutely, from minute one, they were just really on the money, weren't they? And I think today it was Happy Saturday, but today is glorious Sunday, because we've all woken up. The weather's been really bad in Gloucestershire recently. It's just been dark winter grey stuff, but we all woke up to forest green blue skies today. So everybody must be, to term a sort of football cliche, we're all over the moon.
Oh yeah. We are over the moon over here in New York City too, man. What a day. We want to talk about Saturday in Tranmere in just a minute, but you were there. You were commenting on radio and TV. What was it like? What was it like in the ground from start to finish?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, Billy and myself from BBC Radio Gloucestershire, we took the train, which was an interesting experience, really, because we've obviously had the face mask rule, haven't we, in England, and Boris has lifted the rules. So it was quite interesting, really. And I was in sort of two minds whether or not to mask up or not. I took a mask, but you sat in the train and I would say 8 out of 10 people have ditched the masks, really. Wow. So you know, in my opinion, I think we should have kept them, because it just gives people that sort of sense of security. But the amazing thing was there weren't any Premier League games on Saturday. A lot of we hit the train at Cheltenham. Hit the train, that doesn't sound right, does it? If we'd hit the train, we wouldn't be here. But we were on the train. there was carnage on the train. I took a photo actually and shared it on social media. Billy's got this amazing advice. He says, if you want a quiet seat, hit the first carriage, go to the top, because people can't be bothered to walk that far. So we walked along the platform. We sat there and there was no one there. And for me, because I am fairly, believe it or not, quite a quiet, reserved guy, it was bliss for me to have nobody there. Then within five minutes, there was just lads everywhere. And we thought they were going to come and watch the game, but they were just having they'd got on at Birmingham. We stopped it. We changed it Birmingham, and they were just going to have a day out in Liverpool. But they were drinking beer at 10 in the morning, you know. And when they got off at their stop, there was just carnage. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to have to take a photo and share this on social media. But the worst thing was, most of my friends thought it was me.
At first I did too. I was like, whoa, Ash and Billy, well, you guys, get a little loose. Yeah, this is gonna be a fun commentary.
Trying to loosen up for the match, yeah.
We were off the drink at 10 o'clock. They were really friendly guys, and we were telling them what we were up to, and they were really fascinated in it. But
super fascinating to hear, because we remarked about how we saw Gemma's post today. So Gemma's already back in the gym, you know, after yesterday and back there. But it's like the lads, in you know, even the Premier League isn't on. Like, they don't take a weekend off. All right, we got to go.
That's right. No days off.
Get 10 a.m. We got to stick to our routine, you know, stay fresh for the ground.
Yeah. The biggest disappointment, just briefly going back to the train, was that people thought I was a Carling lager drinker. So, you know, I'm not having that at all. Now I'm getting older and my taste buds have changed. I'm an absolute beer drinker now.
Nice. So you're not with that swill anymore. Not with the swill.
No.
I can't wait to drink one of those fancy beers with you when we come to Gloucestershire in April. But in the meantime, just what was the atmosphere in the ground like?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely electric. I mean, it's I'm not sure what the crowd was for Brentford, but there was a bigger crowd, wasn't there, at Brentford? I think it might have been 13,000. But to have 10,000 people in that stadium, and they've also, Tranmere have got a cop, like Liverpool have got the cop. Yeah. You know, that's a very, we all know about the Liverpool cop, but Tranmere's cop's pretty electric as well. But there's a small minority. We mentioned it on commentary, wasn't there, halfway through the second half when a few water bottles were aimed at Luke McGee. Yeah. And then there was a, I believe it was a, one of the Forest Green fans said to me, it was definitely a stink bomb because the it was wafting towards their end. I thought it was a flare, but you know, there was, you would have seen it watching, I guess. Yeah.
You would think the stink bomb was superfluous because Tranmere was already on the pitch, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But in our commentary, we were just saying, how the hell is this helping Tranmere? You know,
Right.
They're wasting time. They need time. They're wasting
it. It's helping Forest Green, but there's absolutely no place for that in football. And to be fair to the majority of the Tranmere fans, when they found the perpetrators, they were booing them. You know, it's absolutely disgusting. But yeah, atmosphere-wise, you know, at times I had to move a bit closer to Billy because I just couldn't hear. When Tranmere ran out, it was absolutely electric. But credit to Rob Edwards' side, they silenced them, didn't they?
They did silence them. It was unbelievable, unbelievable performance. Before we get into it, and also credit to, I hate to give credit to Tranmere fans and Tranmere, the club in general, but to their credit, everyone was like, those guys are idiots. They need to be banned from the stadium forever. So credit to Tranmere for that.
But it's very much, it's got a feel of an old fashioned club, really, almost like a dinosaur, really. And, you know, in comparison to where Forest Green are heading, and you know, I had the privilege of going to the new site of the, you know, the proposed new stadium to meet Dale in the week, and you just think, wow, this is just, Eco Park's going to be incredible. I believe it's going to cost 100 million, and Dale's scratching his head at the moment to where he's going to find that, but you know, he's I don't think he's going to find it behind the back of the sofa, but they're so well run at the club, and people want to get involved, and the partnerships that, you know, Henry Stallings, the CEO, and the rest of the commercial team there that have got, there's a lot of these sustainable businesses that they just want to partner with them. So I don't think it's going to be an issue with 100 million. And I got the impression talking to Dale, I did look in his back pocket, but I couldn't see any money, that there's no worries about that. He had no money when he built his first wind turbine, and he managed to build a wind turbine. Yeah. So, you know, it's not really going to be, well, it is the field of dreams, and what's the old saying? Build it and they will come. Isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Exactly.
Build it,
exactly.
They will come. It looks, the plans look phenomenal. My wife saw the plans and I showed them to her. I don't know if she cared, but she was like, oh my God, how much money does this guy have that he can just build a little town in the middle of a field? And I was like, if anyone can do it, Dale Vince can do it.
The vision is there.
Yeah. The other thing that's pleasing for me as well, with my birthday coming up on February the 10th, the same as yours, Nathan.
Same as me, baby.
Yeah. Great minds and all that. I was pleased. I was pleased when Dale told me there was going to be a care home built there as well. So
there you go.
I love it. I
shouldn't joke, but hopefully, you know, that's where sadly a lot of us are heading, I think. So
it's all right. You'll have your very own rocking chair dedicated to you, Ash. Yeah, that's sure right. Services rendered to FGR commentating services.
But yeah, hopefully I'll get a complimentary seat one day.
Actually, that'd be quite a place to retire to, Shamim. We should consider that.
Yeah, no matter how old we are, let's just retire when it opens.
and go there.
And also, guys, there's going to be a hotel there, isn't there?
Yeah, so, I saw that.
Yeah. Great.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Even on top of that, the fact that it's these businesses, but also the rewilding plan, the fact that they're dedicating a part of it to having it be, you know, dedicated to nature. I just love the vision, man. So cool.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. The trouble is, though, guys, there is a little bit of, you know, a little small bit of negativity towards it. You know, people saying stuff like, it's a wooden stadium, it's going to catch fire and stuff, because unfortunately, you know, back in the 80s we did have that happen at Bradford City. One of the sides of the stands caught fire and people lost their lives that day. But you know, technology has improved so much, and there's no way that it's fireproof, this wooden stadium, so you know, they're not gonna have that issue. But yeah, it's disappointing when you do see the detractors. And also I can understand it to a certain extent, because some fans don't want to move and they think it's going to be a, but that some people have said to me it's going to end up being a soulless bowl, etc., etc. But we don't like change as human beings, really. But for me, I would say negativity is infectious and don't catch the infection, really.
That's a great way to put it. And I get it too, like, you know, we're leaving Forest Green, leaving the home, you know, I understand it. But I think this is like where the club is headed. Like you need a facility like this to support.
They've outgrown where they are.
Exactly.
That's the sad thing. And you know, if we're going to get back to back promotions, you know, we could be in the Championship, couldn't we? And how are they going to cope with it up on that hill? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So 100%. It's for the future. And then, you know, to those detractors that might say, well, it's soulless. And I get it. You know, you think of West Ham moving to the Olympic Stadium and they got a sweetheart deal on it, but it's a little sterile, right? But to me, the thing that makes this club special is the people, is the vision, right? So as long as those people are there, and again, like, I can't see being in a brand new stadium that's like so unique and like this wooden concept and everything around it. Like, I think if the people bring their the positivity of the club and the warmth of the club as it is, I don't foresee it being soulless, you know, because this club is full of soulful individuals and soulful
people. And also, guys, I think, you know, you say that, and it is Kane Wilson said it in one of his press conferences when, you know, in the build up to the Tranmere game, Forest Green Rovers is a small club, you know, compared to a Tranmere, compared to a Bolton, compared to a Bradford, and it'll probably always be that way. And and that's the reason it's a unique club as well, amongst other things. So, because it's punching way above its weight, you know, so it's not punching like former professional boxer Matty Stevens, you know. So, and that's another story. But yeah, they, you know, we said it in commentary. It's dreamland anyway, and Saturday was dreamland as well, wasn't it?
100%. So, and I want to get back to Saturday. Yeah. So let's get back to Saturday.
Sure.
Actually, one last comment on the stadium, though. One thing that I do think would be nice is if there, it seems like it's an all-seater. I think it would be cool if there were some terraces behind one of the goals. That could add kind of, you know, a little bit more of the atmosphere. But anyway, back to the game. So tell us about the music selection, Ash. The game, during the halftime, what was happening there?
Yeah,
we heard various reports.
People like Laurie Martin heard it better than I did, because I've got headphones on and I'm listening to stuff. But I did, just before the kickoff, before we were talking to Paul Furley, the sports producer, sports editor at BBC Radio Gloucestershire, back in the studio, I turned to Billy and said, "Why is Meatloaf playing?" You know, because you could hear all the Meatloaf track. And I thought, and I said to Billy, "Is it a tribute because he's just recently passed away, or is he a fan of Tranmere and that's part of it as well?" But apparently he was, because he's dead, obviously, isn't he? he's something to do with either, I think, Macclesfield, possibly. So
Hartlepool. He loved the Monkey Hanger story. He loved the name Hartlepool.
Obviously it was the meat connotation, wasn't it? So, but yeah, Tranmere have, there's almost, and Billy Hunt said it in a post-match interview with Rob Edwards a couple of weeks ago in the build-up to Tranmere game. We almost classify it as a local derby. I mean, I know there's a couple of hundred miles difference, so it's a bizarre local derby.
Right.
There's so much rivalry between the two sides, with the playoff final win that got Forest Green into the Football League.
Right.
James Norwood, who's sort of been the pantomime villain, big hero for Forest Green at one stage, and then went to Tranmere and rubbed it in Forest Green's noses. So, and there's always been these off-the-pitch scuffles. Mark Cooper was always raising the ante with them a little bit and arguing with them. So, but now that we've got Rob Edwards, who's 100% Mr. Nice Guy, the other day I said in commentary that I think he could turn water into wine at the moment.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He does seem 100%. Above it all.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. Yeah, and you could see that like when the players too, like, you know, we fans, we were, especially us, we were being very petty, just because it's Tranmere and we hate Tranmere, but the players, you know, were all class. They let all the, you know, they let their play do the talking. Tranmere, you know, the fans, the PA, everyone's, you know, talking all this trash, trying to rile us up. And Rob and the team were pure class, let the play do the talking, didn't get into any, you know, big scuffles or any. It was awesome. Didn't, you know, anyway. But I want to go back to, well, actually, one last thing about Tranmere. I secretly do hope that they go up to League One next year with us, because as much as I hate them, it's nice to have. You need that rivalry. You need that, you know, you need that big villain.
The Moriarty to your homes, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was certainly the Battle of the Rovers. That was something that during commentary we knew we couldn't say Rovers. But no, absolute one. Yeah. I would say it's up there with winning the promotion final at Wembley, beating Cheltenham a couple of seasons ago when the club were kind of struggling and Christian Deutsch scored and celebrated in front of what was probably 500 away fans packing the Cheltenham end. So yeah, big results. But from start to finish, Forest Green were just, as I said earlier, just absolutely clinical. Because we're trying to find negatives this season, aren't we? Because there's only been two defeats all season. And
waiting for the other boot to drop.
Well, I don't mean we're trying to find negatives, but because every week they're outstanding. But probably mine and Billy's only criticism this season has been at times the slow starters, aren't they?
But they've kind of moved away from that too. They've progressed from that. Let's recap the game here. Obviously, teacups were flying at halftime. Ash Leverage Kroll. A walk in Prenton Park, though, on the day. What a phrase, Ash. when did that come to you? A walk in Prenton Park. It was so good.
Yeah. Well, it's that's
came
when
you on the
you,
spot, or
yeah, you, yeah. You know when it just naturally flows out of your gob. And it isn't anything written down at all, you know? And when you say it, you actually in the back of your head think, God, that was actually quite good, wasn't it?
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. I was going to ask, you know when you said it, you know, like, oh, I just nailed that.
Yeah. So it's not written down on a crib sheet or anything like that. It's just that natural flow. And I think sometimes when you're trying to be too clever and write things down, that's when you mess up.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, with your blessing, we'd love to use that as the title of this episode because it is so good.
Yeah.
Walk in Prenton Park.
Yeah. It was a cakewalk as well, really, wasn't it? Yes. So a vegan cakewalk.
An eggless cakewalk.
So let's actually get to the game. So to quote Ashley Leverage from the BBC Sports, straight from his fingers on the full-time report, prolific strikers Maddie Stevens and Jamil Mabb both netted as Forest Green thrashed Tranmere 4-0 to move 10 points clear of their nearest rivals at the top of League Two. Stevens and Matt Bagg, typical
poachers.
That's not your report.
No, I don't want to take. I don't know. I don't want to take any credit for that one.
All right,
All right, this was a journalistic integrity test, Ash. Yeah, you passed with flying colors.
That's right.
I know. I'm not taking any plaudits for that one.
And I thought your final, like, full-time match report goes to the BBC.
No. Well, I do stuff for the Press Association, which does go to the BBC and Sky. Yeah. But I only do the home games, so I get a bit of a chill out. So
okay,
that's not mine. There would be a few more adjectives in it if it was mine.
Yes, that's true. Okay, well this is not from Ash Leverage, but anyway. So Stevens and Matt, the only reason I quoted this, I thought it was from you. So I'm quoting someone else now, but Stevens and Matt bagged typical poachers goals to put the visitors up 2-0 in halftime. And the win was sealed thanks to superb finishes from Jordan Moore Taylor and Regan Hendry. Crazy game. and then, of course, at the very end, it could have been worse for Tranmere, but Duhon managed to save substitute Josh March's penalty with pretty much the last kick of the game. So what do we think of the performance, boys? You already kind of mentioned it, Ash. What's your overall quick assessment?
One word, really. Outstanding.
Outstanding. Yeah. Sean.
Is that quick enough? Is that perfect.
Yeah, it's more than quick. Yeah.
Sean, give us one word too.
Vigorific.
Vigorific. Let's go. It was vigorific, man. A massive test for us on the road. Packed stadium, 11,000 fans. You said 10,000, Ash. But I saw reports come out, and that's what we thought at the beginning. I saw reports come out saying there were actually 11,000 fans there. 11,000 fans who hate Forest Green. Tranmere are second in the table. The best defense in League 2. Teacups were flying at halftime. And for us to come away not only with a win, but with a dominating 4-0 win, we scored 21% of the goals scored against Tranmere were scored in this game. 21% of the goals this season,
Wow.
scored against Tranmere were scored in this game, which is crazy. 4-0 win could have been 5 or 6
Yeah. I was really hoping for that manita. I wanted that manita that they had in Spain, you know, where you put five on them. It wasn't to be.
Yeah. It could have been 5-0. Could have been 6-0 with the handball penalty that was missed in the first half. And then the Marchi penalty that he missed. But man, this team is special. Ash, was this the best, you know, you mentioned some of the great games in Forest Green league history, especially the Deutsch one against Cheltenham. Where do you rank this in the history of league games?
Yeah, I think that was Forest Green's 200th EFL league game.
Oh, wow.
I got that stat from Heather Cook, the club statistician. She pinged that to me during the game. So we always like to give her a shout out rather than take the credit ourselves. So yeah, it's in that sort of top three for me.
Oh, you know,
the Wembley, the Deutsch and that. Yeah, just because of how comprehensive it was. Yeah. And you know, every player, if you're going to give them marks out of 10, they were all 8 and above, really.
Oh, 100%.
Jordan Moore Taylor. I know you want to talk about Jordan Moore Taylor.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about that. So, you know, you did say let's give everyone 8 out of 10. I agree. Like, there could have been 9 guys who were like man of the match. Then on any normal team, like those 9 performances would be man of the match on a regular day. So it's so hard to choose one, but is JMT your man of the match, Ash?
I think he's everybody's man of the match, isn't he? It's one of those days where everybody says, yep. No, he was... I just love the way he defends as well, don't you? So he just gets those blocks, doesn't he?
He saves us when we need saving, in a particular match, at a critical point in the match.
And he looks like he really enjoys defending as well. I've done another block. He looks quite a spiky character. I don't know him very well. I've met him a couple of times off the pitch, and he's very serious on the pitch, and he appears in sort of post-match things, very serious, very focused. Billy interviewed him yesterday, and it's kind of, we've won that game, it's on to the next one. You know, very, very driven squad. And also what I like about JMT as well, he's really good on the ball, isn't he, when he brings the ball out of defence his passing. And what about, it was a striker's finish, wasn't it, on Saturday?
Yes. What a goal. Yeah.
Was that the goal of the game for you? Because it was for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I loved the Regan Henry half volley, but I do think JMT's goal was the goal of the match.
Yeah.
That was just beautifully struck. That curler.
You always respect a guy who like lives to defend too, which is JMT. You know, there's not a lot of glory in it, and he loves it. You know, it's incredible leadership at the back, huge tackles, huge clearances, interceptions.
And that's what made the goal special as well, because he worked so hard. Like, to score that type of goal just was like the cherry on top.
Well, we were kind of worried in the commentary box because at halftime, even though it was so emphatic, we were starting to think back to Forest Green 4, Oldham 1. Final score, Forest Green 5, Oldham 5.
Yeah, right.
But I said to Billy during the commentary, I may have said it at half time, when we were beating Oldham 4-1, JMT had to come off, didn't he? Because he was unwell.
Yeah.
So they were 4-1 up. So, and I think that was the big difference. I think if JMT had been out there at 4-1, we would have won the game 4-1 at 100%. Oldham. So, yeah, he's an absolute colossus, isn't he?
100%. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. There's just so many good players on this team. Like, Rich Hughes is this is a masterpiece of a team that he's put together.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I mean, every week it's like a new guy who you're like, oh my God, this guy's the best player at his position in the league. Oh my God, this guy's the best player at the position in the league. Like, we have so much talent. It's unbelievable.
You've got the likes of Dom, haven't you? Dom Bernard, who can't get back in the team at the moment. He's been left out.
That's how good this team is. Yeah. It's like you have outstanding talent on the bench. Dom, young Jake Young, so many, you know, so many amazing players that can't get on because there's too much.
Do you know,
only play 11 players.
You know, obviously Billy always talks about Dom and his shorts, and they seem to be getting higher and higher. I wouldn't we all love Dom to score, and wouldn't we also love him to do some weird thing where he pulls his shorts up a little bit more, some weird celebration. So
when he scores, Ash, I'm going nuts, and I hope you do on commentary too. Billy, let's get a promise from you now, Ash. So Billy said he would say, I forget, I think sweet molasses, Dom Bernard has scored if he ever scores. Can we get a phrase from you if Dom Bernard ever scores?
Yeah, well, I'll try and work on one. But what I think we should do, hopefully if Dom's listening to this, we've almost got to plead with him. If he does score a goal, I'm not sure he scored at all for Forest Green.
He never has.
Only on the Twitter account. Only on the foggy.
But hopefully if Dom is listening, please, Dom, if you do score, pull your shorts up, do some weird sort of celebration. But also, you know how players, when they score, they take their shirt off, don't they, sometimes, and swirl it around their head. Dom, please don't take your shorts off. it might be
a red card. If he takes his shorts off, his underwear might be less revealing than his shorts are, so it actually might be more leg coverage. So, you know what we should do? I mean, hopefully we seal promotion at some point earlier than expected. And then next time we get a penalty, you got to put Dom.
You got to put
to take the shot. He's got to score this year. Fans will go nuts if Dom scores.
When we traveled back yesterday, we met up with a couple of Forest Green fans who were, well, they weren't sober. but one of them, a guy called, he's a vegan actually, Jamie Flagg.
Yeah, Flagger. Okay, yeah.
Flaggy, yeah. Interesting.
Flaggy,
character.
Can't wait. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry? He had a bottle of champagne on the train on the way back.
Wow.
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. But Jamie said to me, he's obviously clearly a bit of a stato. He said that he'd worked it out. As it stands, we can seal promotion at Barrow away. Fancy that one.
Wow.
Mark Cooper's Barrow.
Oh,
you know? How bizarre that would that be?
We fly in, because we're coming in April, we fly in on the Friday that we play against Barrow. It's a Friday game.
15th, right?
Yeah. If that's the case, I think Sean and I, we got to bump up our flights so we can get to Barrow away.
Yeah.
For that,
so,
that
so
would be
do,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
So do you guys now think it's an absolute given? Because it's only, what, two defeats all season, isn't it? Do you think?
I do. I do. Yeah. I hate to do it as like a...
Yeah,
it's a jinx. We always feel it's like it's a jinx, you know.
Yes,
I feel like if we make it to, I mean, we're basically at February. I have a feeling if we make it to the middle of February, it's unstoppable. Yeah. The momentum would be unstoppable.
Yeah, just don't see like tomorrow's the end of the transfer window.
Yeah,
and it looks like we're not going to lose anybody. Yeah. So I just don't see, barring like a crazy, you know, injury or like three or four crazy injuries. Yeah. I just don't see how we don't get promoted. Like this team is so good.
And I think from a psychological standpoint, I think the next match against Newport is huge because we're the top two XG teams.
Yeah.
The way that Newport County knocked us out of the playoff last year, I think if we can slay that giant, that kind of, you know, psychological giant, there's no stopping for us.
But also we, well, it's not we, is it? Because I don't play for them. But if Forest Green can avoid, I think for me, if they lose, it doesn't mean the wheels have come off. They can afford to lose, you know? And maybe in a way, it might not be a bad thing. But then also at the same time, I don't sense any complacency from the team. They're really focused, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Just like you said, JMT, on to the next. You know, the biggest win, one of the biggest wins in Forest Green League history.
Yeah.
And JMT after the match, on to the next, on to that. Doesn't matter. Like, and I think that's the mentality of everybody in that dressing room.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't see a collapse coming.
No, but look how we say that, how focused and driven they are. But they will certainly enjoy a win, won't they? Look look the way they celebrate with the fans. Have you seen the photos?
It's marvelous.
Footage?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the photo. You know, that's the greatest photo I've ever seen. Oh my God.
And did you see the clip that the club had tweeted it out, hadn't they? Where Rob Edwards says, "All of us," doesn't he?
Yes.
When he runs
We can't blame you for saying we, Ash. We can't blame you for saying we, because that's the feeling around the club.
We got the order from Rob. And even Casey, the new boy, is in on that, you know, celebration. Yeah. You know, you can see it's beautiful. And Dom, or not Dom, Dokes, he tagged us. It was so cool. He tagged us in the little locker room, dress room, dance party they had afterwards. But you can see they celebrate. They enjoy it. Yeah. But today, Jama and Dokes, I already saw, you know, they're already back in the gym. They're already preparing for the next match.
Yeah.
No days off for these guys. And you love it's just beautiful to see.
How good was Dokes, by the way, yesterday, Saturday?
Huge.
Against
some
Trumbia.
Huge stops. Yeah. One of those was a massive stop, and the build-up play to get that first goal. Dokes.
Yeah,
the
we see him kind of nightmare. Growing up in front of our eyes, like maturing as a player, right? Like maybe that pass back that might be a not have enough weight on it. He's cut that out of his game, like for the most part.
Yeah, and also, you know, with Rob Edwards, he's not going to throw the kitchen sink or throw the teacups, is he? He's not a teacup
throw the teacups.
He's not a teacup thrower, so he just wants to encourage them. So they just go out there with. They go out there with confidence, a swagger, but no arrogance. No arrogance.
Yes.
I don't think there's an arrogant player in that team. You know, it's just they're confident. They're on a mission. I don't. You know, they're not going to do an Arsenal Invincibles because they can't, because they've lost two games. But I bet if you ask most of them to a man, they just want to lose. The only games they want to lose are the two they've lost all season against
100%.
Against Swindon and Port Vale. And interesting, I'm not sure when this is going out, but obviously it's Port Vale on Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's going out
huge.
Today.
Huge matches coming up. We got Port Vale on Tuesday, the only team to really beat us soundly. I mean, Swindon beat us soundly too, but we had some chances. Port Vale, we got worked.
We're bad, yeah.
Right. Yeah. But so Port Vale Tuesday. Saturday, Newport, who's third in the table, second in the XG table. They're outstanding, you know. Outstanding so far. And then we've got hot little Sutton United the following Saturday. So we have a bunch of big tests coming up.
Yeah,
confident.
We say that, but probably the wrong choice of words. We made absolute mincemeat out of Tranmere on Saturday, didn't we?
Exactly. So, it could have been 6-0. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So,
I'm butting in all the time, but I was just going to say, obviously you had the benefit of TV. We thought on Saturday it was a stonewall penalty. Was it?
The handball.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. No question. Yeah. On TV, that was a handball a million times out of a million. I think that the official, the line, whatever, I think he just wasn't paying attention. There's no way. I don't know how you missed that. Like, it was clearly a handball.
So they should have had two penalties, really. And as you said, 6-0 would have been a fair reflection, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, 100%, which is crazy to think about. So actually, on that note, Ash, and by the way, we've talked a lot of football, which is uncharacteristic of us, but I love it.
Yeah.
Is this the greatest Forest Green Rovers team you've ever seen?
Well, that's a good question, really, isn't it? So you look back to the promotion team, and that was a pretty decent team. But in terms of the level they're playing at, and now they've got, you know, they've got one foot and a toe in League One easily. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. I mean, I'd like to see Carl Winchester, Winnie Esther in this team.
And
I'd like to see Liam Kitchen in this team. And I'd like to see Christian Doige in this team. But by far. And one of the things under Mark Cooper, that the football was good, but it was a little bit what we call over here tippy-tappy at times, you know? Mm. Whereas Forest Green's football now is good, but the way they just move the ball quickly is 1-2-3 passes, cross, back of the net. I don't think Rob Edwards tries to complicate it too much, really. So that's not to say he's got a clever football brain, which he has, but it just seems to be played at pace, doesn't it? And, you know, tricky Nicky Cadden, as you guys say, and Kane Wilson again. How good was Kane Wilson again with ridiculous feet that he's got? He's absolutely outstanding.
He was in the EFL Team of the Week. It's crazy.
Really?
Like, we had five.
So
we had five.
And also, I was just going to say, I forgot what Billy called JMT in commentary. You said to me
Mystic, Mystic Mortale.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Love it.
What a name.
I don't know if you can pick, but like, you know, you mentioned some of the legends there in Doige, Winchester, Winniesta. Which of these players do you think are going to be, like, you know, 15 years from now when people look back at this crazy, unbelievable era? are the guys that like everyone's going to remember as like forever FTR legends?
I think the one that will really be up in lights for a long time will be Jammer.
Yeah,
100%. And also, I think that when Jammer sort of calls time on his career, although I think he's got a good 4 or 5 years left in him, because he just seems to be, you know, I think he can play to his mid to late 30s because he's such a clever player. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think this is his best goal scoring record ever as well.
And I think last year was his best up until this year too.
Yeah, yeah. But also, he's. I can see him being a coach or a manager at some point. He's just got that.
Perfect.
He's articulate. He's a brute on the pitch, but a gentle giant off it. I think he's got a degree in psychology as well, hasn't he?
Yeah. We hear from so many players too, like so many of the younger players, how Jammer is the go-to guy that takes people under his wing and kind of shares his wisdom.
He's such a good people person. He'd be I think you're right. Like manager, he's got manager written all over him whenever this, you know, this playing career is wrapped up.
Long may it continue.
he was great with me when obviously I felt that club PR media wasn't for me and I wanted to go back to, I also had a few sort of well-documented sort of, you know, mental health issues and a tough time. But when I decided after 3 weeks, I couldn't physically work. Not because I didn't really, you know, I enjoyed being up there, but I was just not in the right headspace at the time. I'd met Jammer was the first player I did when he signed for the club. So we'd only had a brief exchange. And bless him, when I left, he sent me a message to say it was nice knowing me briefly, you know. So, you know, but that's the mark of the man. He'd only met me once and he sent me a message, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
And you're
a wonderful human being.
He really is. And, you know, we hear that from so many, like everyone we talk to, everyone we bring on, they all have a Jammer story of how he reached out to them in a time struggle and a time of need. And Jammer's always there. You're like, just, you love the guy and you hope he stays with us forever because he's
the best. So. I would imagine that they'll find a role for him at the club at some point. And I think as the club develops, you know, you have a goalie coach now, obviously, don't you? That's commonplace. You'll end up having a strikers coach, a defensive coach, you know, bits and pieces like that. So let's hope so.
Hire him as a life coach.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So out of the current squad, well, I think they'll all be remembered. The teams that get promoted always get remembered. The Wembley team will be remembered forever. They're always going to be legends. So the team that get Forest Green into League One will always be remembered, won't they?
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. So let's get out of here on this. We've talked a lot of football. Let's move and to another sport, basketball.
Near
here we go. We're
going to
close out with a game that I just made up moments ago called Guess the Basketball Score with Ashley Loveridge, as you are so fond of bringing the basketball score to the commentary. So a little known fact, I've recently gotten big into sports betting. I don't have a problem yet.
Don't tell Dale Vince that. But.
Don't tell Dale Vince that either. But here we go. So we have a bunch of NBA games today. So I'm going to ask you to guess the score, and then I'm gonna place a small wager on whatever score you say. So are you ready, God. Ash?
Yeah, I know absolutely nothing about this. But
and that's why you're going to do so well. That's why these are all.
Yeah.
So here we go. Guess the score. Los Angeles Lakers at Atlanta Hawks. What do we got?
143. To
85. I love it. Who wins?
It doesn't matter because we're just
the Lakers win.
Okay.
All right, 143 to 84. All right, next, Los Angeles Clippers at Charlotte Hornets.
Is that a made up name or is that a real team?
No, those are all
the Clippers,
real.
Los Angeles after Clippers chips, named after
at Charlotte
chips.
Hornets.
The Hornets win 3,000-2.
All right, I'll take the over on that. 3,000-2.
Hopefully they cover the spread.
Portland at Chicago.
Nil-nil.
Chicago does have a lot of injuries, so they're going to hit a lot of bricks. A lot of bricks.
Yeah, but their big defender, Alex Caruso, out. So
I am joking, by the way.
I'm betting on nil-nil. Last one, here we go. My beloved Cleveland Cavaliers at Detroit Pistons.
Match postponed.
Due to what?
Due to
fog,
weather.
Fog.
Due to fog. Too much fog in the arena. Postponed. Oh my God, I love it. All right, I'm betting on all those. Ash Loveridge, man. Oh, so much fun to catch up, man. So much fun to hang out. Yeah. Every time we talk to you, it's like time flies by. Like, I don't even realize. Yeah. Oh my God, like we've been on here for over an hour.
Yeah, it's great fun, guys. Great fun. Love it.
Yeah, Ash, you're looking great. You're sounding great in the booth with Billy Hunt. And you make our Saturdays so much fun. So I just want to let you know.
Tuesdays when we can make
And Tuesdays.
Yeah, we're very aware that you guys are watching. So, because it's very difficult because it's radio and TV. So you kind of got to paint pictures for the radio.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you think, well, maybe we're painting too many pictures because the guys on the TV can see it, but it's a difficult sort of balancing act, really. But there was just one more thing.
You guys do a marvelous job.
There was just one more, and I'm a rookie to it, really. This is my first proper season, so you know, I'm still feeling my way into it. But I think Billy and I have got a good dynamic together well. So you know,
I gotta say, whenever, like, it doesn't happen often, but when we have like the Sky, when the team's on like Sky and not you guys, the comment, it's like so dead, like the comment, like we miss Billy and Ash so much, because it's like you add so much life to the game.
Thank you, guys.
Really appreciate the work you guys put into it. So sorry,
likewise, we enjoy what you've brought to the football club as well. It's really, really interesting. I just want to say one thing. My good mate, Phil Butterworth, who I travelled to quite a lot of games, the Forest Green vice chairman, who you've had on the show, haven't you?
Yes. The cacti man.
The cacti man. Phil was due to go to the game on Saturday and then go to Port Vale. I think he was going to spend some time with his wife. They're going to do a few little trips and stuff. But Phil broke his leg on Saturday.
We heard that during the broadcast.
What happened? Is he okay?
Yeah, he's okay. I think he was literally, it was like a freak accident, just coming down the stairs and slipped. I think he's got some sort of like so his leg twisted. So there's a certain terminology for the fracture, I believe. But he's in. And he put a picture out on social media. He was in Cirencester Hospital with his leg in plaster and his forest green face mask as well, which was good. But I regularly have a beer with him down at Stroud Brewery, normally once a week, where I hope you guys can come and join us at some point. But
Get well soon. Quick recuperation. Yeah, so
Phil's going to be out of action for till about March, and you know, for driving wise and stuff. So, so he's got to put up listening to us a few times now. But yeah, awful thing for him to happen. Yeah. But you know, just on here, I just wanted to sort of say all my best to him, really, and hopefully he'll bounce back soon.
Oh yeah, we loved Phil. Like when Phil came on the pod, he was phenomenal.
Well, he's a retired teacher, isn't he? So he's from with you guys being teachers. So,
We talked about that a little bit when he was on. And such a great guy. And Phil, get well soon. And as soon as when we come in April, we have a date. We're whether you want to or not. Ash, Phil, Sham, Nathan, we're going to the Stroud Brewery for some beers.
Absolutely. Oh man.
Well, Ash, man, thank you so much for coming on. As always, it's just amazing to hang out with you. Yeah. Find Ash on Twitter at AshLoveridge10 or at the Stroud Times. Read the Stroud Times on the internet at StroudTimes.com. Just always good to catch up. Listen to Ash on Saturdays and Tuesdays for our match for the Forest Green Rovers matches on BBC Gloucestershire or on FGR Live, as Sean and I do. Ash, man, thank you so much.
And you guys have a good one.
You too. Take care, man. Cheers.
Ashman. I'm the stat man. I'm the Ashman. Ashley Loveridge, the king of basketball scores.
Yes.
Always good to chat with him. I cannot wait to see how my bets do based on his I'll update everyone based on his score predictions today.
Yeah, he's very, very bullish on the Charlotte Hornets, I have to say.
3,000-2. they had a big, they had a disappointing win the other day. They were crushing the Lakers. They Lakers came back. They only won by 3. Mm. But anyway, so maybe they'll bounce back from that disappointing victory.
Yeah. And hang 3,000 on the bowl.
hang 3,000 on them. Anyway. So let's go on to our guy, Exiles Analysis, man. What a guy. He's a friendly guy, man. He's been so nice and supportive of us, even though he's from Newport. He admires what Forest Green does. As an analytics guy, it's so cool. Like, he sees the what Forest Green do, what Richard Hughes does with analytics, and he admires that. So just an awesome dude.
Yeah, and a man chat, not afraid to take a fashion stance, as we saw about, Newport County's away kid. Respect.
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row that our opposing opposition guest bashes their own kit. So interesting to see. And you're going to want to hear the third kit story. It is a crazy story about their third kit. I love it. I gave their third kit a 10 out of 10 purely based on the ridiculous story and how ugly it is. But anyway, let's go into Exiles Analysis, man. Let's talk Newport County. Let's get ready for Newport. Here we go. We go behind enemy lines to talk with a man who hails from Wales, an exile Forest Greenophile. He seems to like us. For some reason, we'll ask about that in a minute. He covers the X's and O's, as we say here in the U.S., or noughts and crosses, as they say in the U.K. For Newport County, the analyst, Martin with a Y, Phillips with an I, also known as Exiles Analysis Man. Martin Phillips, welcome to the pod, Martin.
Hi, gents. How are you?
Doing well, Martin.
Excellent. Excellent, Martin. Excellent. We're coming off of a huge win. You guys are coming off a big win, too. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, we're doing well, Martin. But first question, Martin, we had earlier in the show, we had a journalist on, Ash Loveridge. We now have an analyst on, Martin Phillips. If journalists do journals, Martin, what do analysts do?
Make things up.
Make things up. All right. I was looking for something with anals there. But anyway, all right. So we're going to do fashion police on your kits and discuss a couple, maybe do a few minutes of football talk. But before we do, we just want to say thank you, man. So, you've been supporting us from over there in Wales. You support, a rival team, and we appreciate that. You've been super supportive of two idiots like us.
And especially after the playoffs last year, right? You guys did get the better of us. So it makes sense that you are better with it. But we really credit that that last little stretch to actually preparing us for this season and how well Forest Green has done. So
100%.
Yeah. You guys really were formative for us.
So tell us, so why do you put yourself through the pain of listening to us? And what is it about Forest Green that you admire?
I enjoy listening to you both. It's fun. It's not dull at all. You make me laugh, actually. So it's good. I've got a.
There's one. All right.
There's one. Yeah. So yeah. We can't wait to tell our significant others that we can make people laugh.
Well, one guy in Wales, anyway.
One guy in Wales, at least. Yeah.
No. And then, so what about Forest Green?
Yeah. I admire them. I like the way they play football. There's a lot of things off the field that obviously they do, which is good, by the way they run the club. I especially like the recruitment. I think it's really, really well thought out. I think they probably use some people that I might know. There's a couple of players you signed, which I thought could have done Newport some good one or two seasons back. And I'm a bit envious of that.
Oh yeah, they Rich Hughes, our director of football, is unbelievable. He should not be in League Two. He's like this team that look at the League Two EFL League Two team of the week just that came out today. But we have five players on it plus our coach. This is amazing. Rich Hughes has put together this ridiculous team. So that's awesome to hear, man. Well, let's get into it. And also, let me just say, we're big Newport County fans too. We've met a few people from there and had nothing but great experiences with them. Also, kind of admire what you guys do, and the whole story of the Exiles is so cool. The redemption story. We're big Newport County fans as well. Now, this past weekend we were pretty childish with our tweets with Tranmere. But that's just because we hate Tranmere. But that's the only team we hate. Don't worry, there won't be any of that with Newport. We love Newport. We appreciate Newport. We respect Newport.
And we love that about League Two as well, or the EFL. It just seems like the spirit around a lot of clubs, Tranmere excluded, it seems to be fairly positive, and we've had these great experiences meeting people and learning about different clubs that Forest Green end up facing.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of good, I'd say good relations between fans. I think there's a lot of I don't like the word banter, but you know, there's a lot of banter. and most of it's good. Very rarely you'll have you know, arguments. It's all nice.
Yeah, that's what we found. It's like a big family. League 2 anyway, so far, it feels like a big family. And it's nice. It's also annoying because it's like you want to build these like rivalries, but then every time you meet a, you know, opposing fan, you learn the story of the club. You're like, oh my God, I love that club. Like, I'm rooting for them now.
I cannot hate you.
Exactly. Except for Tranmere. But the annoying thing too about Tranmere is after the match, we had some Tranmere fans DM us and they were like so nice. And there's some good Tranmere stories too. So they're kind of turning the corners too. Anyway.
You'll have to get a Tranmere fan.
Well, we got it. What's that?
You'll have to get a Tranmere fan on.
I don't know if we can go that far because I don't want to like them. It's not, you know, you need a villain, you know, you need someone.
We need some consultant from Fox News who like knows how to like bring on the most, you know, like and like kind of enemy seeming person from a particular, you know, background or club.
Exactly.
We gotta figure that
exactly.
out. Can't do that. We find just nice people, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. But anyway, let's get into it. And we got to kind of make this quick because full disclosure, I have to pee like crazy and I can't because there's a cat sleeping on my lap right now. And I don't know if you know, like if you're a cat, I don't know if you're a cat person, Martin, but when a cat sleeps on your lap, you're stuck until it decides to get up. That's the position I'm in. I've had to pee for like 30 minutes, but this cat's been asleep in my lap. So anyway, let's get into it. So we are going to do Fashion Police first. And then we will get into a little bit of football and preview this massive, massive match on Saturday against Newport County. Currently third of the table. That's right. That's still right, right?
Yeah.
Currently third of the table, on fire. It's going to be a huge, huge match. A rematch of our playoff matchup in the spring of last year. So let's get into it. But first, most importantly, let's get into Fashion Police. Are you ready for Fashion Police, Martin?
I am ready.
Nails, hair, hips, heels, face done, lips real, purse full, big bills. Yes, I'm a big deal.
All right, we're going to go over your home kit, your away kit, and your third kit. So Shams got on the glasses. Typically, we dress up for this. I would too, but again, I already mentioned there's a cat in my lap, so I can't get my
materials. Drape it around your neck, Nathan. Shams. Come on, drape it around your neck. Come on.
That's
fashion accessory. Turn into a fashion accessory.
All right, here we go. Home kit. Fashion Police. Here we go. Home kit. Newport have had some fire home kits. You know, I love the JAMA era home kit back when Jameel Matt played for you guys. I really like last year's. The black sleeves, the tiger stripes, the Alzheimer Society sponsor. Like, love a sponsor like that. But this year, I got to say, Martin, it lacks creativity. It's just a gold shirt. It's got some broken glass on it for some reason. Not enough black on it for me. And the sponsor is what kills this shirt. You know, how do you go from Alzheimer's Society to a van company, Martin? So I got to go. It's very basic. I got to go very average 5.3 out of 10. Sham, and then we'll go to Martin.
I think compared to last year, I have to agree with you. Like, I love a good awareness raising kit, a good awareness raising shirt, which was there last year. Maybe the broken glass pattern, which I'm actually kind of a fan of. I kind of like those jacket patterns, but maybe it's there to reflect the fact that Newport County shares a pitch with the rugby club as well. So it kind of feels like that's what you have to play football on. But, you know, color scheme wise, I'm always a big fan of the orange. But do you guys call it gold or do you call it orange, Martin?
Amber.
Okay. Oh. Even better. I'm a huge Jurassic Park fan.
The Amber
fan.
Army, baby.
The Amber Army. There we go. So again, that shirt will be harvested. What's that?
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So the score is good. The score is going to be a little bit higher than yours. I'm going to give it a 6.
6. All right. What do you got, Martin?
I was going to go 6 as well. I'm not as big a fan as this one as last year's. And I especially like the black sleeve last year. But it's a bit of a weird fit.
Oh, 100%. So yeah, last year's was awesome. And you've had some great ones. I really like the JAMA kit. I love seeing JAMA in that I don't love seeing JAMA in a Newport kit, but I loved him in that Newport kit. Also, big shout out to my wife. She just brought the Fashion Police gear here. So I can dress up after all, except, look at that. We got the glasses. Shout out to my wife. All right, good. Now it's official. And
no man is a fashionista alone. It takes
here we go. All right, here we go. Keeping it going now. Away kit. Here we go. Away kit. Now I got my fashion police gear on. Away Kit is cool. As a big ocean guy, I love the ocean theme. A subtle nod to maybe our Sea Shepherd kit here as well. It's a fun kit. You know, I see this kit and I feel like I'm going to have a good time. That said, I think fun kits should be reserved for the third kit, Martin. So everything in moderation. I live my life by three rules. You can't eat vegan ice cream for dinner every night. You can't drink beers before 10 a.m. every Saturday, unless you're watching Four Screen.
You can't pee if there's a cat on your lap. So
can't pee if, okay, four rules. You can't pee if there's a cat on your lap. And fourth, whatever, I can't count. Last one, you can't have a third kit as your away kit. So if this were a third kit, I'd go 8.7 out of 10. Phenomenal third kit. But as an away kit, 6.8 out of 10. Sean?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I like the similar nod. It kind of reminds me of the ocean. Maybe it reminds me of the glaciers. I love the little, I'm a fan of a nice band on the sleeve. I like the little, you know, amber band there. Kind of interesting Henley design too, which I'm generally a fan of, but I don't think it quite works here. So I'm with you. I'm gonna kind of keep it even and give it another 6.
What do we got, Martin?
I'm gonna go for a 3.
Ooh. Oh, whoa. Martin does not like this kit.
It came from inside the house. Wow.
It's the same color as the Mansfield away kit. So that's like a first no. And then everybody calls it phlegm color.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. I've heard away commentators calling it like phlegm colored kit. And then it just looks weird.
So is your opinion, like, is that shared among Newport County fans, or is it?
I think I'm on my own. It's absolutely sold out.
Wow. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people love it. Jersey, like, kit collectors love it. It's a unique kit, but our man Martin gives it a 3. But here comes my favorite kit, guys. The third kit. This is a phenomenal kit. And I want to bring this one up, not just because it's horrendous, but the story behind this kit is amazing. And I hope you'll elaborate on this, Martin, and let me know if I got the story right. But first of all, the kit is this. It's like a fake Burberry bag. And I know in the UK, I think you guys could say Burberry, right? It's a UK brand. I know it's a UK brand, but I can't say Burberry because, I don't know, I grew up saying Burberry. So it's Burberry. I call it football, not soccer. So I've made that compromise. I can't do Burberry as well. So Burberry. Anyway, there's clearly a knockoff Burberry kit design. The camel, the white, the black, the red plaid. I think it's supposed to be like intentionally bad and like kind of intentionally a knockoff because it was designed by a local comedy rap group called Goldie Looking Chain. And this is actually the second Goldie Looking Chain themed third Newport County kit. Back in 2004, 2005, there was a gold shirt with a gold chain printed on it. That was their third kit. Awesome. But anyway, back to this kit. I love the story already. An intentionally bad kit, intentionally fake Burberry kit, as a nod to the local comedy rap group. But it goes further. So I found this out in the early 2000s. The Burberry check design became linked with soccer hooligans, and the pattern was actually banned at pubs and at football stadiums around the UK. That's wild. Anyway, and so here comes the best part about this kit, though. It was announced in early September that this would be the third kit. And it was so clearly a Burberry knockoff that Burberry threatened to sue the club for copyright infringement. And the club immediately removed the kit, took it off the site. The players can't wear it. And now it doesn't even really exist. So, guys, I have no choice. I have no choice but to give this ridiculous kit and ridiculous story a 10 out of 10. Unbelievable kit. Unbelievable story. What do you guys think? Go ahead, Sean, and then Martin, tell us if we got that right.
Yeah, no, you know, I would say that's an incredible story, an incredible arc. It seems to capture everything about English football life a little bit. I would give it a 10 out of 10, but I'm giving it a 9 out of 10 because, like you said, Nathan, you can't find it anywhere, but it does now exist as an NFT. So I got to dock it some points for that.
What do we got, Martin?
I like this better than the away kit, but I was probably going to go for a 5 because I'm not a fan of Burberry. I liked the balls, you know, just the guts they took to do it.
Yeah,
it was hilarious when it got taken off the market. But I pre-ordered one on release day, and then I emailed them to say, "No, can you cancel my order, please?" I thought, I don't like it that much. I'm not buying it.
Oh man, I respect that. I respect the consumer's choice on that one. I would have been like, "Oh man, what did I do?" But I wouldn't have done what you did and took that step, Martin. So kudos.
But it wasn't. You can't does anyone own one? Or were
fans wear them to the games? So there's like an amount of people, whoever probably pre-ordered them and bought them in the first few days, they still wear them.
So there are a few out there. These are like limited edition, then they got to be like crazy valuable because they don't exist anymore. You can't buy them. The players don't have the players never wore them either, right?
No, not that actually. Only in the sort of the promo photos.
What a story. What a kit.
Yeah.
And the I didn't Harvey realize bunker of kits. It doesn't even exist. Go ahead, Sean.
I didn't realize they do that in England as well. Because I had heard about like in the 80s how hooliganism was kind of bad around football in England. And there's certain like dress codes that went with that too, right? Yeah. So it's just interesting to hear that this kind of fell into that a little bit. Do you have any other information about that, Martin?
No, I'll be honest. I was a nice young. Calm football watcher.
Yeah.
you weren't throwing things and trying to get in fights when you were 3 years old.
Yeah, ripping out seats.
I was wearing like bright blue Bermuda shorts with like fish on them and stuff. So
I love it. Nice. Oh, I love it.
Okay. One last comment on this thing. Having heard and learned from Martin that all the commentators called the away kit a phlegm kit. It now kind of makes sense to go with the Burberry third kit because aren't they like handkerchiefs? So you got the handkerchiefs for the little snot rocket. So I see the vision now.
Snot rockets and handkerchiefs. All right, let's close out here. We go Newport County. You're under arrest. In 3, 2, 1, Newport County.
You're under arrest.
Girl, I don't dance, I work. I don't play, I slay. I don't walk, I strut, 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 and then sashay. Okay. But I don't work for free. No. That's not the tea, hunty. No, so make it rain on me, and I might let you see.
Let's go. All right. So on to county, or county, county. How do you say county in Wales?
County.
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 County. I love the Welsh.
Yeah. I've got a bit of a twang on their accent, though, so they say, like, county.
County.
They sound a bit like Bristolians.
So, okay. Nice.
Well, we don't know what that sounds like either.
But anyway, we will soon, because we're heading in that direction.
We will soon, because we're going to Bristol. Bristol away. Cannot wait. April something. We'll be there in Bristol. But anyway, back to this. So on to county, on to football. So you are currently third in the table, absolutely dominating, second in the XG table as well. You're having an excellent year. What's clicking for this team? What makes this team so good?
It's James Robey's got the team playing a bit different to how we kind of played under Mike Flynn. We've tried to keep a possession-based game, which we introduced last season, but we kind of fell apart in the final third and we didn't have a way of really getting the ball into the box, which is probably why we didn't score many goals or as many goals last season. This season, I think we've brought in attacking midfielders like Finn Azaz, Ollie Cooper, even to Jake Kane from Liverpool. And we're just moving the balls into better areas, more dangerous areas. The fullbacks are getting into higher areas, more dangerous areas. And we're putting the ball into the box. We're getting players in the box and we didn't get people in the box last season. So this season is a bit more, impetus on attack.
Nice. And you mentioned, and you have a lot of returning players from last season. Last season, you guys had a great year. You've made it to the playoff final. An unbelievable year. And so you're saying you've improved upon that. Awesome. I love that. So I wonder, how do you see the season going for Newport County? Where do you see yourselves finishing at the end of the year?
It's a tough one because there's a lot of good teams in this league. I'd love us to finish in the automatics, but after 3 or 4 games, you can sort of drop out of the playoffs altogether, especially with sort of how tight it is at the moment.
Right.
I'd say we would definitely, I hope we finish in the playoffs, but I don't see us sort of finishing outside the playoffs with the kind of attacking threat we've got. It definitely isn't Forest Green attacking threat, but it's hard to stop sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. You have the number one goal scorer in League Two, Dom Telford. We'll talk about him in a second. And then you mentioned Finn Azaz, what a name, who came on. Oliver Cooper also. I saw you post that goal, I think it was yesterday, of Finn and Oliver kind of leading the build-up play to one of Dom's 20 goals that he scored yesterday. So let's talk about some of the players. You know, you have some legends on this team. You have top goal scorer in League Two, Dom Telford, the first person to score 20 goals for Newport County since John Aldridge in 1983-84. You have a star defender who I assume is Cypriot based on his name, Mickey Dimitriou. You have the oldest player in League Two, Grandpa Kevin Ellison, who, by the way, got that goal last season. Oh my God!
Oh yeah. Broke our hearts,
in the playoff. Yeah. Broke our hearts, but what a beautiful, that was ridiculous. You got the best name in League Two in Priestley Farquharson. How do you say his name?
Farquhard, right?
Farquharson.
Farquharson.
I love it. You have Aaron Collins' brother, Lewis Collins. You also have some guy named Aaron Lewis, which makes that whole thing really confusing for us. You got Tammy Abraham's brother and Fulham Loney, Timmy Abraham. A lot of characters on the squad. Who's your most important player, and who is your most interesting player?
Important. That's a tough one because Mickey Dimitriou, he's a defender, but if without him in the team, I think we're a very different team defensively. So you need him. You need him in the team, and especially if you're going to try and get balls into the boxes on set pieces as well, you've got to have him in the team. but it's kind of like the two midfielders. You've got Azaz and Cooper, like they complement each other very nicely. They're both young, a lot of energy, try to get the ball back as soon as they can, and as soon as they've got it they want to go forward. But I think this season standout, Cameron Norman has probably been our player of the season so far. The ability to get up the right flank, get balls into the box, he hasn't gone on under the radar, but I think he doesn't get as much plaudits as he needs.
He's kind of your Kane Wilson, it seems like, the little wing guy up the right.
Yeah.
Creating a lot of chances, also getting a lot of yellow cards, I see.
The season began, there was a lot of a swear word with housery on the end.
love it.
But he's grown out of that.
Nice. So I wonder, how do Newport County fans see Forest Green? You talked about, your admiration for us, but I wonder if other Newport County fans feel the same, or is there a little rivalry? Because they are somewhat geographically close.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do see that rivalry, because, as you say, it is a fairly local game. And, some people may not... Well, there's always pointing fingers about how maybe clubs are run or how they do this or how they do that, and money this, money that. And but for me, I'm a massive admirer of Forest Green, what they do off the pitch, what they do on it. Like, the football they play is fantastic, the recruitment, fantastic. I haven't really got a bad word to say about it.
That's why we love you, Martin. Yeah. That's why you're on this pod. I love it. Coming back to Saturday, what do we need to do? Forest Green, what do we need to do to win on Saturday?
Keep on doing what you're doing. I think it's just keeping the ball probably on the floor. Trying to get in behind the fullbacks. Basically get down into the deep areas behind the fullbacks. It depends on whether we played a three or a four at the back, but I think that's our weakest area. Is maybe if you're attacking down the right-hand side, you'd probably have Joy behind our left back. That's what I think. But we're not a very fast team. We'd struggle for pace. So you could knock the ball probably around us a little bit, and we'd struggle with that.
Well, that's a good time because we are, especially up the wings, pretty fast. And especially on that right wing, Kane Wilson, you said that's kind of your weak spot on the left side for you guys. So that's promising, because when Big Daddy Kane Wilson is on, there's like few League Two players better when he's on his day. Let's close out here. So you guys are, I feel like there's got to be a lot of goals in this one. You guys are the second highest scoring team in League Two. We are the highest scoring league team in League Two. You
have the top two XG teams.
Yeah, you're the number two XG team. We're the number one XG team. You have the League Two top score in Dom Telford. We have number two and three and Maddie and Jamma. So what do you see in this one? What's your prediction?
I'd like to go for a draw, just to be optimistic, maybe a 2-2.
Oh, we were hoping you'd say 16-16 draw, you know, just have it be a free-for-all. Eight goals per half for each team. So.
But I am looking forward to seeing Jamma again.
Yeah, Jamma's the best, man. We've gotten to know him over the last couple years, or the last season and this season, and he's just like, you know, apart from being a phenomenal player who you have to admire on the pitch, because he just, like, he's 32 or 33 now, and every year he just keeps getting better. He's like one of those kind of freaks, like, I don't know, LeBron James or Tom Brady here in the U.S., where they keep getting older, but it doesn't matter. They get better with age because of the lifestyle that he had. Like, I saw him today on Instagram. He's back in, like, big match yesterday, big one. He's in the gym right now. So it's, you admire a guy like that on the pitch for his work ethic, his dedication to the game, but then off the pitch, he's just one of the nicest good humans, you know, that you'll ever meet. Yeah. Do Newport County fans have similar, you know, similar
memories
about
of Jamma?
Jamma,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was loved by the Newport County fans. He had a few good seasons with us. The goals kind of dried up for him maybe in the last season, but I doubt that wasn't to do with him. That was to do with the support he was getting more than anything. But yeah, I think it is a good place in everybody's hearts for Jamma County.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, let's hope he gets one goal back on his old club, though. Well, man, I'm looking forward to Saturday. It's going to be so much fun. It's Forest Green. We have a huge run here. We played number two Tranmere. We have Port Vale on Tuesday, the team that beat us and the only team that really completely dominated us. And then we have you guys on Saturday, third in the table. And then we play you guys again, too, don't we? Like a few weeks later.
Yeah. It's not too far, is it?
Yeah. It's a weird
in the March or.
I think. Yeah. Yeah. I think beginning. Yeah. First of March. So we play you. We have like four games in between, and then we're back at it again with you, this time at Rodney Parade. So looking forward to it. We always love playing against Newport County. Martin, man, thank you for coming on. Thank you for all the support too, man.
Yeah, thanks, Martin.
So yeah, it's very, very much appreciated. It's so kind of you. So guys, if you don't already follow Exiles Analysis on Twitter, you can also follow him at MartinPhillips1, Martin with a Y, Phillips with an I, 1. Awesome dude. Man, really appreciate you coming on, Martin. So nice to meet you. Best of luck this season. I hope that we're both in League One next season and we can do this again next season, or we can do this again in a few weeks. So best of luck this season, man. Worst of luck on Saturday, but I hope you guys are right up there with us, 1-2, Forest Green and Newport County at the end of the season.
Thanks, gentlemen. It's been a privilege.
Hey, thanks, Martin. Cheers, man.
Exiles Analysis, man. What a dude, man. Thank you so much, Exiles Analysis, man. Martin Phillips, Martin with a Y, Phillips with an I. Awesome to chat, as always. Not as always. That's our first time chatting with him. But awesome to chat. Awesome to meet him.
He continues the streak of having really great guests, for sure. So
Yes. So let's talk Port Vale really quickly. We previewed Newport there. Let's talk Port Vale. Then we'll go to Statman, Chris Latham. And then we got to get out of here soon, Shimmy, because we got to go to the bar. We got to go watch the Bungles and Joe Burrow crush the Chiefs. No offense, sorry.
The Bungles no more. These guys are roaring this playoffs.
They've earned. Yeah, they've earned the name the Bengals now. I've always hated the Bengals. Also, as a Cleveland Browns fan, but I can't help but love them now.
Yeah. Hey, be careful. You're talking to an Indian guy. So when you say you hate the Bengals or you hate, you gotta think for a second, man. Come on.
All right. Anyway, Shimmy Bob, let's talk Port Vale quickly because we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
We got to go watch some football, American football. So Port Vale, the only team to absolutely dominate us so far this season. They beat us 2-0 early in the year, and it wasn't even close. They got out to an early lead and just wiped the floor with us after that. It was all the way back in August. So it doesn't really count. It's still in the summer. Does it really count to this season? I guess it does because it's on our record. But it's one of our two losses. And they just wiped the floor with us. The only time that's happened all season. Of course, we lost to Swindon. But at least against Swindon, we put up a fight. We had some good chances. Against Port Vale, we did not put up a fight. That said, Port Vale come into this match ninth in the table. They've won their last game, but they've had a pretty poor run of form since then. So they beat Scunthorpe, which isn't exactly, you know, the best team in the world. But they've lost quite a few games since then. So anyway, I don't expect a repeat. I think our boys will go up to Burslem, a beautiful wine country, as we know, and just continue the streak. I think, you know, after a crazy win like Tranmere, you could see a letdown. But the beautiful thing is they have a lot of motivation because Port Vale embarrassed us, mm-hmm. you know, at home last time. I think we're going to I think a big win's coming, Shimi. What do you got?
Yeah, I think we're just going to keep rolling. And I think the taste of defeat, or I think they take it personally, this group of Forest Green Rovers players. So I think we're going to come out and we're going to take it. We're going to take it. You know, revenge, because... Revenge. Hey, you know, I feel like at the beginning of the season, even though we had a great preseason, there were some things that had to be sorted out, right, with our defense, with slow starts. But we've seen the improvement in those areas, so I'm ready for them to get that, you know, to get that revenge on Tuesday.
Yeah, me too. So, and Port Vale are a very good defensive team. They're not setting the world on fire on offense. They're not bad. They're like an average attack, but pretty good defense. But like we both just said, I think we're coming out for revenge. We're coming out hungry. We're winning this one. We're keeping our clean sheet too, baby. We're winning this one 3-0. A Dom Bernard hat trick is finally happening, Shimmy. 3-0 to the Forest Green Rovers. What do you got?
You didn't. I want to agree with you. I hope Dom Bernard gets a goal this appearance, but I think we're going to win. We're gonna win 2-1.
2-1. Oh, what about a clean sheet, man?
I love Luke McGee, and I love how our defense has tightened up, especially Jordan Moore Taylor, our star. Fire. Yeah, JMT's on fire.
Cooley Bailey, Dokes. Yeah. When he comes in, Dan Sweeney. They're not scoring on us, but fine. 2-1.
All right. Yeah, okay. You know, fine. You're right. 2-0. There you go. 2-0.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about, Shimmy Bop. Newport County is gonna be a crazy score, like crazy game too. I guess we should give a quick prediction on that, even though no one should take our prediction seriously. No one does anyway. I'm going 3-0 again, baby. Dom Bernard has a second hat trick, 6 goals this week for Dom Bernard. 3-0 against Newport County should be a crazy goal scoring affair, even though I just said they're not going to score on us. But they are second in goals scored after us. They have the leading score in the league. We have number 2 and number 3. Shimmy Bop, what do you got for the score?
Newport County, I think it'll be really close and contested. I think that actually goes to a draw as well, even though we always predict a victory. I do think it's going to be a 3-3 draw.
Except it's not, because we only predict victories. So
it's going to be a 3-2 victory for FGO.
There we go.
I had to stay consistent. We'll drop one. We'll drop one goal from each of our next two competitors.
There we go. We can't.
But I'm looking forward to this match, man. The top two XG stats in League 2. I think it's going to be a fun one.
It will. I cannot wait. Although, anytime it's like promising to be a fun one, it's like a boring like 0-0. We'll see. Anyway, unfortunately, I'll be like in and out because I got another robotics competition on Saturday. Yeah,
it's tough.
Those dang robots. Yeah. So I'll be watching from the competition.
We just appreciate you appeasing our future overlords on our behalf, so that we survive. FGR survives because we have an in with you. So thank you for that. Thank you for your service.
You're welcome. Yeah, I will tell the robots, spare us and spare FGR and spare Rob Edwards and this epic team. All right, let's go to Statman. Chris, Statman, Lathamton. Let's go talk to Chris Latham. Let's do it.
Howdy doody.
Hey, there's our guy, Statman, Chris Latham.
Everybody in class today is into the American accent, the howdy. We talked to Ash.
We just talked to Ash Leverage. He also gave us a bit of an American accent, too. I love it. it's sweeping the nation of Gloucestershire, Bill. Anyway.
Sure is. I got a terrible American accent, though. I don't even know what that was. That was the worst one I've ever done.
It's better than our English accent, that is for sure. Yeah. Also, Sham and I are on a time crunch because we got to go watch the NFL playoffs. So I'm probably not going to have time to put in the Statman music, so I'll just do it right now. I'm the Statman. Ski ba 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 da boop. Ba 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 da boop. Ski ba 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 da boop. Statman. All right, we got Statman Chris Latham here. Our crappy version of the song, since I don't have time to edit it in due to the NFL playoffs. But Statman, always good to see you. How are we feeling, Statman?
Feeling good. How are you?
Doing well.
Awesome, Statman. After yesterday, man.
Yeah, we're on a high.
The sun is shining here. I heard the sun is shining there, over there in Gloucestershire, too.
It is nice.
Oh, and so before we get to the men's team, you just got home from the women's match, right?
Yep.
You went to travel to another dimension, Middlezoy. What is this name?
It's amazing, isn't it? And it's played on the Western Zoyland airfield.
Oh, okay.
Bizarre, isn't it?
The landing strip to enter the next dimension, apparently.
Yeah. It's quite weird watching a football game with aeroplanes taking off just like in the field next to you. But they did well, like 1-1, very young team that got down today. And the young players, I thought, did exceptionally well. It's always hard work stepping up to senior level from age groups, and they did really well.
Awesome. Yeah, even the team itself this season has stepped up a couple of notches, right, in terms of the competition.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they moved up one league this season. They're doing really well. They were unlucky. They were the better team in the first half. Second half, it's so disrupted through injuries and the referee and the linesman and various things. A bit frustrating to watch, but like, did really well. Young players especially did really well. And some of the senior players really stood up as well, like lots of talking and things like that. So pretty good.
I'll tell you one way we could have won this one. We only drew 1-1. Score more goals. And one way we could score more goals. Hattie Jones. Where was Hattie Jones? She wasn't there. Or she wasn't in the lineup anyway.
No, she wasn't there today. No, I think someone said she was injured. I don't know if that's right or not.
Oh, no.
Get well soon, Hattie. Well, we need you back on the pitch.
That's true. Yeah, get well soon. Also, big shout out as Rosie Dimmery was our goalkeeper, which I guess is not dim shady. She's not typically the goalkeeper, so she was the goalkeeper today. Pretty good to keep only, let only one goal in. And 16-year-old, you mentioned the youngsters, 16-year-old Faith Pound, another awesome name. Faith Pound made her debut. So shout out to them. That's awesome. A lot of players stepped up, like you said.
16-year-olds today. Three or four 16-year-olds. Yeah. That's what I mean. They did really, really well. Because it's hard. Normally, you bring up one person who's like 16 into your team or whatever to help them get used to that step up, but to do it as a collective, they did really well, and the players around them, the senior players, did really, really well. And Rosie Dimmery in gold as well, she did really well. You wouldn't have known she wasn't a keeper.
Wow, like shout out to Dim Shady.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. Real Dim Shady.
The real Dim Shady. Well, that's awesome, man. So, yeah, great to see. We talked about Sean and I did a little FGR women recap earlier in the game, and great to see like both the men and the women doing their thing. So on to the men's match. You saw, I'm assuming, like Saturday. How do you feel after that match, Chris Latham?
Oh, it's incredible, isn't it? I hoped we'd go and win, but 4-0 against the best defense in the league, that's just incredible, isn't it? And I think that was what my stat was. It's a concatenation of stats. Let's go. FGR in 2022, right? Incredible. 6 games, 4 wins, 2 draws, 12 goals, which is the same as 8 other teams in the league. So, Scunthorpe, Oldham, Orient, Rochdale, Harrogate, Hartlepool, Port Vale, and Carlisle scored the same number of goals as us in January. That's crazy.
Wow. And then
5 clean sheets. What? That's mad. We conceded 1 goal in 2022. 15 games unbeaten, the best in the EFL. And then we've only lost 2 games this season, which is Liverpool and Man City, the only other teams to do it. We're just incredible. 2021 FGR under Rob Edwards. Old news, 2022, we're getting better. And you think people sort incredible. Of said, do you know what? They've had a couple of weeks off, then they might not be match fit. They're going to have loads of games in January. Because not only did we play those 6 games, we had that one that was pulled off Mansfield, which this training is effort, isn't it? And everyone said, Ebu Adams is away. How are they going to cope? Everyone asked questions of us, and our team answered. Superb.
Oh my god, yeah, it's a great point, like too. Yeah, Ebu Adams not even with us, and we just had our best one of our best league wins ever. It's crazy. Team is unbelievable. It's unreal. Rob Edwards is unreal. Rich Hughes, who put together this team, unreal. And of course Dale Vince hires everybody, so he deserves a lot of credit for putting the right people in the right places. Just a ridiculous team, Chris Latham. What a time to be a four-screen rower supporter. Shalom and I joined at the right time.
Yeah. Of course, let's not overlook Kip Kowalski and Tony Graw as well. Their unique style of bandit commentary is really lifted our quality, I think.
Oh, man. That's a crazy, crazy stat, too, Chris Latham.
Insane.
Oh. This is insane, man. It's just so fun watching this team just week in, week out, and it just doesn't feel like there's a collapse coming. Knock on wood, does it, Chris?
Exactly. I think, like, Rob Edwards yesterday, the way he spoke, and he made it about every player, didn't he? Not just the ones on the bench, not just the ones who played, but every player in the squad, and he's right. And consistency is phenomenal. And shout out to the travelling fans as well, because I think we took quite a few. They're quite noisy. Yeah. And Tranmere will always say, oh, we've got 10,000 home fans, and go on about numbers. But actually, I think quality counts more than quantity. We're from a village.
Yes.
And the relationship between our players and management staff and our fans, second to none. Quality over quantity every time. It's just like a really special, like, feel around the club at the moment, I think, isn't there? It's really good to see.
That's 100% right. Like, that's the nice thing about a small little village club, is it feels like a family. Like, the players know the fans know the play, like, it's just a community. And they had 11,000 fans there. And there were times when we were watching on TV and hearing the commentary, you could hear our, I don't know how many we brought, 50, 60, 70 fans. You could hear our, like, 70 fans over the 11,000 Tranmere fans. Like, that's a testament to a few things. One, how great this team is, because they shut up, they silenced 11,000 fans. And two, how great, just like you said, quality over quantity, how loud and proud the traveling supporters are. Incredible.
And also
incredible
to see
stuff.
The players, how much it meant to the players after we scored, right? And celebrating that in picture. Front of our fans. Yeah, it's just like...
That picture. Amazing.
It's just incredible, isn't it? And I think one thing about our fans as well is we don't get on players' backs if they make mistakes. We're with them, aren't we? Right. We back them to the end. And I think if I was a player, that would mean more to me than anything. I think we stood by them and we stand by them, and it's a good place to be, isn't it?
100%, man. It's a family. We all love each other. We're here for each other, and that's the perfect way to close out here. So, Chris Latham, thank you for making the time for us, man. As always, it's always good to catch up.
Yeah.
April can't
even
come
without
soon enough.
Your WWE entrance music. You still performed.
Right.
You still came out the champ. The people.
Oh, yeah, I got to close out too, singing here, so I don't have time to add the music. But man, Chris, April can't come soon enough. We got to grab a beer when we're there in April, man.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, Chris Latham back against Stat Man. Beep, I'm the Stat Man. Chris Latham. There we go. All right. We'll close out there. Stat Man. All right, Shimmy Bop. Let's get out of here, Shimmy. Let's get out of here. We got to go watch some football, American football now.
That old American,
let's go to the
football
bar. The American football. The Cleveland Cincinnati Bungles take on Kansas City Chiefs. Our friend, Liam Horsley's team.
Big Mahomes.
But I'm sorry, Liam. I got to root for the Bengals, man. I got to root for Joey B. And then we got, right after that, the Rams and the Niners. It's going to be awesome, man.
I'll have to decide who goes to the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
Who is the most superb owl in all of American football? We'll be excited.
And we're going to check out a new local bar together, too. It's going to be cool. All right, yeah. But we got to get out of here because we're going to be super late. So we've got to edit this pod and get it all out before we go to the bar. So, maybe we should just take it and edit it at the bar. That would be fun.
There we go.
Actually, on that note, sorry, there might be, we're not going to listen to everything through, so there might be some, I don't know, crazy stuff that slips through. Maybe you already heard it. Anyway, we got to get out of here. Let's get out of here, Shimmy Bop. We're going to dominate Port Vale. We are going to dominate Newport County. County, up the Vegan Rovers.
Up the Vegan Rovers. We are FGR. We are on a roll. Long shall it continue.
And you know, we got to...
Praise Dale.
Take us home, Big Time Tommy. I might put a Big Time Tommy in. He dropped the new Instagram post.
Wow.
I might put it, but I also might not if I don't have time before we get to the bar. So there may or may not be Big Time Tommy right now. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Bye. Thank you.